I'm a park ranger and I dig danger, dream of it night and day.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, hour number two on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Angelo Biola. He is Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, our producer on the program, JW. How are you, Johnny?
I'm always good. Always. Good, good.
Always. I want to be you when I grow up. I told you that, right?
Yeah, you did.
What's this I'm reading here in my notes? You want to know about jigs and fast water fishing and stuff. What's going on?
Well, as I reported to you when we were up on the Spanish River fishing, one of the things that was recommended by our guide, Tyler Dunn, was to bring plastics. And I couldn't quite get that. I mean, worms are available and minnows are available. I pick up a package of all of the plastic baits that are out there, minnow-like, leeches. They look like leeches. They look like worms. They stink to high heaven. I don't understand why these would be considered that effective. And I thought, based on a prior conversation that we had, I'd turn that over to you. Tell me what your experience is and why you think these are a go-to bait.
Okay, so two things that you can do with plastics that you can't do with live. Well, we'll call it live bait, but, you know, there's very few baits that are living that live on once you put them on a hook. You pale them on a hook and you throw them in the water. Let's be honest about it.
It's not going to swim anymore.
Exactly. So with artificial baits, now there's good and bad artificial baits, by the way. With artificial baits, in a lot of cases, they look more realistic than a dead live bait, if you know what I'm saying. Now, that's not to mean that there is not a perfect time of year to fish dead live bait. And that is early and late in the year. One of the best baits, for example, if you're going to fish early northern pike, like really big pike up north, one of the best baits to use is a dead sucker. I mean, there's nothing better than that because all of these dead suckers are coming down from the frozen river mouths, the rivers that have been frozen all year. That water moving into, or all winter, that water moving into those back bays, a lot of times we'll be carrying dead suckers down, right? And that's what these big pike are feeding on. However, on a normal day-to-day fishing trip, it's pretty hard to beat, if you're walleye fishing, for example, John, it's pretty hard to beat a well-played-out artificial bait like a shad-shaped minnow, for example, on the end of a drop shot rig. And I know you're talking specifically jigs here, but
yeah, it doesn't really matter to me. I mean, you could be using something that looks like a leech or a worm, and you're using on a worm harness. And the point that I wanted to make and wanted to get your view on it is that when you pull them out of the package, these things have a very distinctive odor to them, and it doesn't smell to me like anything that any fish would have ever seen in its life. And we understand that fish are quite sensitive to smell.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't figure out why you would opt for that when you could go live bait instead.
And that goes the same with color, I'm sure. You'd have the same questions on color, right? And the only thing I can tell you is that when this whole thing started in terms of – and I'm going – post the daredevil and the crazy crawler and that era, right? In the late 70s through to the 80s and 90s, when there was a ton of research being done on fish's senses and how they reacted to certain smells and how they saw color, which was another phenomenon, bait manufacturers started cluing in on that and making sure that their baits somehow had either that scent or that color in them. But I think, to your question, I think we've kind of gotten completely away from that over the last 20 years or so. I think a lot of this stuff is for you, not the fish.
Yeah, and that's what I wonder. Do you look at it and you say, well, if I was a fish, I could see that. That would be a great thing for me to hit. But what does the fish actually see, and does it trigger a response?
Yeah, and in most cases, I got to tell you, a lot of it's marketing. There are some great plastics on the market, and this is not because I am sponsored by and I'm not sponsored by any. What's nice about our position on the Fish in Canada show, not being affiliated to any tackle company or any rod and reel company is that we truly can use anything we want, and we can determine ourselves what's good and what's bad. So when we say things like a shad-shaped worm by Yamamoto, it's because it just plain outfishes everything. And it's funny because that particular bait, John, if you pulled it out of the bag, you would not notice any smell to it at all.
Okay. How long do you think these baits will last? Like, typically what happens is the guys go out, they use a few of these baits, they throw them in your tackle box, and then,
No. Not Yamamoto's. Yamamoto's are a one-hit wonder. So you use it, it's gone. In fact, you catch a fish on it, it's usually gone. It's not a multi-fish. It's a very expensive bait. But I got to tell you something, Pete and I have been working with it for a number of years and comparing it to other baits. And at the end of the day, we keep pulling out this one particular product. So that if you're jigging for walleye, to me, as good as real bait, live bait can be sometimes, there is nothing like drop shotting a Yamamoto shad shaped worm. And it's not a worm, by the way. It's a minnow. Imitation. It's not a worm, but they call it.
So you're going to send me some of these?
Anytime you want, buddy. You know, you're special. You know you're special.
They have a room full of that stuff.
Yeah.
How do you know we have a room full of that stuff?
Because I know things.
Well, how do you know that? Nobody knows about that room.
Oh, nobody. It's wide open all the time.
Send me a case, Stephen. Send me a case. I'll try it out. I'll send you the results.
Yeah. In terms of a jig, you know, I don't do a lot of jig fishing anymore. It's all drop shotting, so I can't really help you there.
No, I'm okay on that side of it, and I'm okay on worm harnesses. I mean, reality is that there are many different looks and many different types out there, but I think everybody has their favorites.
Oh,
and their favorites typically go to this catches fish, and the other one I didn't catch any, which may mean there weren't any there. But we don't go that route. We basically say this catches fish, and that's the one we go with. I had one worm harness on the entire time I was there, the entire time, and I never changed it. Why? It was catching fish.
You know, I recently wrote a blog on fishingcanada.com that addresses that very thing, because you may have that one bait. You just said you did. I may have that one bait, which is totally different than yours. Stephen may have that one bait totally different than yours or mine, yet it catches fish for him. And you know why?
Because we use it most of the time.
Because of confidence.
You're
confident.
Okay.
You're confident that that bait is going to work. So, number one, you use it more often than you do baits that you don't believe in.
That is true.
And you fish it more effectively, because when you're using that bait, you're visualizing what is happening down there. You feel, you know that a fish is going to jump on it. You work that bait totally different than a bait that you go, I'm going to throw this out there just to check it out, but I know it's not going to catch anything.
That is so true.
It is so true.
Yeah.
And it's all about confidence. You know, listen, Rapella made an entire, you know, industry out of confidence. In the late 80s, there was a very interesting study done. And it simply started out by saying more fish are caught on a silver J7 Rapella than any other bait in the world. That was the heading, and everybody scrambled to read it. And if you read on, I think in the second paragraph, it also told you more J7 silver Rapellas are used than any other bait in the world. So it just makes sense, right? The more you use it, the more fish you're going to catch. The more fish you catch, the more confidence you build, which means the more you're going to use that bait. And it's a vicious circle, right? It just keeps going
around. That is true.
And it works, man. I mean, who's going to dispute it? We all have that go-to bait.
So what you're really saying is that before I made that trip up there, I didn't really need to go out and buy $150 worth of tackle and then try to hide the receipt from my wife.
No, I'm not saying that, because if we all did that, then there'd be no tackle industry. You see, we need them. You know, it's funny you say that. Eh? You know how much tackle Pete and I have, and we have access to. I can't tell you how many hundreds of thousands of pieces of tackle, and yet every trip we go on, Every single trip we go on, we always stop in at that little tackle shop that we see at the corner, you know, the edge of town as you're leaving town, Billy Bob's Tackle Emporium, and we always stop, we always go in, and we always walk out with a bag of something. It's just one of those things, man. We never use it, but you got to buy it, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, it is what it is, my friend.
You bet.
Well, all right, buddy.
Thanks for the update, the info. That's good.
Listen, just wanted to update you, too. I know I mentioned on last week's program that I was now officially starting my medication for Lyme disease, and that's coming along well, although I got to tell you, it's pretty difficult getting into a routine of taking 12 pills a day, but it's coming along.
Do you take them all at once?
No, it was morning, afternoon, and evening.
Oh, gosh, I can't even remember your evening.
Yeah, it's tough.
Let me just tell you that based on all of the stuff that I've read, and it's a black hole for information, you're doing the right thing. It's this is scary stuff, buddy.
No, I know, and I want to mention to folks, I have to mention to folks, I did last week, and I'll tell them again. When I first informed John that I had been bitten by a tick, the first thing he said, well, you've gone to have it checked, right? And I said, no, not really. And John talked me into going, and I thank him for that. I thanked him last week, and I'll thank you again this week, John. I went to my doctor and gave him all the information that you sent me, and guess what? He didn't know any of it. So, boy, we need to really upgrade the amount of info that's available to folks out there.
Well, I hope it all works out, and I'm sure it will.
I'm sure it will. All right, buddy, we will talk to you soon. You have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
You bet. Thanks very much.
John Winters, retired park superintendent in Algonquin Park, that is. I keep saying retired park superintendent in Algonquin Park. Why don't I just say a former Algonquin Park superintendent? Because somebody pointed that out to me, Stephen.
Like how long has he been retired for?
I don't know. How long has he been here? 20 years? I don't know.
Okay.
No, it's a long time.